This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. From a new Republican effort to investigate deaths at a U.S. consulate in Libya to a number of comeback bids for former representatives, it's time now for our weekly look at the latest news from Congress.
Paul Singer joins us each Wednesday at this time. He's the politics and Congress editor at USA Today. Paul, welcome back to the show.
How you doing? Good to talk to you today.
You too. Well, let's start with this Benghazi story. It's been going on, ongoing Republican efforts to investigate the attack on a U.S. consulate in Libya back in 2012. What's this new committee announced this week by House Republicans?
Well, the House Republicans decided to launch what they call a select committee, literally setting up a special investigative panel that'll do nothing but investigate the Benghazi matter. And it's interesting, even your news broadcast at the a couple of minutes ago, they were talking about inviting Secretary of State Kerry, former Senator Kerry, to come testify before the House Oversight Committee. Well, this panel would theoretically replace the Oversight Committee investigation. There's also an investigation going on in the Armed Services Committee. This panel would replace that too. So it's essentially a way to centralize all of this Benghazi stuff in one place. The problem I think the Republicans are facing, with the danger they're facing, is that a lot of these committees have already done an awful lot of work, produced a lot of reports, produced a host of findings, some of which have been very critical of administration, some of which have not been, and they're in just some jeopardy of just kind of repeating what has already gone before. And in fact, this became a bit of a blow up a couple of days ago when the Oversight Committee had a witness, a military witness, saying, oh, we should have done more to protect those people in Libya. And the Armed Services Committee Republicans came out and said this was a dumb witness, didn't know, this person was not in a position to know, and in fact there was not more the military could have done to protect the people in Benghazi. So it's a very, it's almost like traffic cop problem. They've got many moving pieces they're trying to organize.
Would this supersede all those other efforts? Would those other committees drop the issue now?
Well, it's really hard to tell. You know, the way they have drafted, they'll be voting on this thing on Thursday to approve the committee. And the language of the resolution that creates a committee says all other committees will turn over their files to this special committee. Well, that sounds like it means that all those other committees stop investigating. But Darrell Issa from the Oversight Committee has already said, I'm going to keep investigating by myself. I mean, so we're not entirely sure what this means. And keep in mind, the thing that is driving this now is an argument over talking points the administration created in the days immediately after the September 11th, 2012 attack in Benghazi. And this whole issue of what the administration said in that sort of two-week period immediately afterwards. Sooner or later, the administration said it was attacked by al-Qaeda. But in the first days, they were saying publicly they thought it had something to do with sort of broad protests across the Arab Peninsula about a video that was offensive to Muslims. And the Republicans believe that was an attempted cover-up. And so now much of the conversation here and what inspired this committee is to investigate that two-week period of what the administration said and what they didn't say.
Is this an effort in part to just get more attention to this issue? Republicans have been trying to get traction, saying and make the case that there were real mistakes, real wrongdoing by the administration and politicians, apart from a number of Republicans, and the media, apart from Fox News, aren't going with this. Pay attention to this thing.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, I think it's certainly part of it is the sense that the administration has gotten away with something. That is the sense amongst Republicans, the administration has gotten away with something. And they think this is a way to highlight that, those misdeeds. There are Democrats who believe this is all about Hillary Clinton, that what the Republicans are trying to do is gather more ammunition to attack Hillary Clinton, who, of course, was Secretary of State at the time, and prevent her from running for president. But, I don't know. I mean, you could make the case that, this was a tragic event. Clearly, it was a tragic event. Four Americans died. Clearly, the diplomatic facility there was not particularly well secured. Why not? It was a failure of government at various levels. All worthwhile questions to ask. The question is, has it become really a political agenda more than a policy agenda? I don't have an opinion really on that front.
And as Republicans pull this together, there's been talk of how and whether House Democrats would participate. What's been the response from House Democrats?
We'll see. They think, obviously, this whole committee is a witch hunt and a bad idea, and they have said it's a bad idea. It's not clear whether or not they will participate. At the moment, they are saying it's a bad idea and we don't like it, but they're also making suggestions for how to, you know, fix the Republican plan to make it better. We'll see whether they actually boycott in the end. I'd be surprised if they boycott. I think they're probably going to be better off on the committee than off the committee, but we'll see.
And just briefly, there's been some rumbling from some conservative circles that Benghazi is one of the things that could lead the door to an impeachment vote in the House. Is there a lot of talk about that, or is that
No.
more of in the conservative media?
No.
Not among Congress people.
No. I mean, it's like, they're not going to impeach the president. I mean, he's got two more years in his term. If they tried to impeach him, it would just create a whole new firestorm of backlash. There's just nothing to be gained from impeaching the president of the United States at this point. Nothing.
Well, let's speaking of election year, I want to turn to some election news. I saw an article in your paper, actually, a lot of former congresspeople looking to make their way back into one of the nation's most reviled institutions.
Yeah, you got to, like, why? Why would you come back? Why would you come back? Is it that hard to get a job in the real world? You got to come back to Congress? But, yeah, we tracked down somewhere around, I think she said 18. My colleague Sue Davis wrote these stories. She found, like, 18 members of Congress, former members of Congress, who are running to come back to Congress. The most famous of these is a woman named Marjorie. She was known at the time as Marjorie Margulis Mezvinsky. She's now Marjorie Margulis. She was a congresswoman, first-term congresswoman from Pennsylvania, who cast the critical vote on a Clinton budget bill in the House in the 90s. And the Republicans, even as she cast the vote, the Republicans were chanting in the well of the House, "See you, bye-bye, Marjorie, bye-bye, Marjorie." Sure enough, she lost her reelection. But she also is Chelsea Clinton's mother-in-law.
That's kind of interesting. Okay. Interesting connection there.
Yeah. But she's trying to come back. She wants to be reelected in Pennsylvania. We'll see. Some of these are possible. There have been repeat performances in Congress before, and it's not out of the question that you'll see. In fact, I would suspect you'll probably see half a dozen members elected this year who were once before members of Congress.
Well, recruiting candidates is always an interesting challenge for the two parties, always looking for that fresh new face, somebody to shake things up, but I guess sometimes looking back to somebody who's been there who has some name recognition already.
Right. You've got name recognition already. You can raise money. I mean, another good example of this is Scott Brown, the senator from Massachusetts, former senator from Massachusetts, who has moved to New Hampshire and is now running for Senate in New Hampshire and has immediately become a very formidable candidate in that race against the Democratic incumbent Gene Shaheen. Again, he's Scott Brown. He's a big name. People know who he is. He can raise a lot of money. He doesn't have any difficulty creating name recognition. Those are real positive attributes to have in a candidate. Now, of course, there are negatives. When you were in office, did you vote the right way? Did you do the right things? Are you somebody we liked? Scott Brown ultimately lost his reelection bid. In fact, all of these candidates were voted out of office at one point.
Well, speaking of
somebody didn't like him.
Right. Speaking of name recognition, Clay Aiken, famous for his stint on American Idol, yesterday faced a primary vote for Congress in North Carolina, running as a Democrat. How do you do?
He did strangely well. He is, at the moment, too close to call. They're separated by a couple hundred votes. I suspect there will be a recount in this thing. It's going to take a couple of weeks to sort out. But Clay Aiken, a runner-up in American Idol, seems to be the leader in this Democratic primary in North Carolina. Now, I will warn you that he is running in a very conservative Republican district against an incumbent Republican Congresswoman, Elmers. Whoever gets the Democratic nominee is likely to get their heads handed to them in the general election. But at least he would be able to say, I was a Democratic candidate for Congress from this district.
And then just briefly, the Congressional Budget Office, a stark report on the future of transportation funding offered Congress these choices: reduce spending on roadways by 30% and on transit by 65%, or raise the gas tax by 10 or 15 cents a gallon, or get a lot of money from the general tax fund. Not a lot of popular options there. What could Congress do about that?
Well, you know, they're trying to come up with a long-term bill to rebuild the Highway Trust Fund and to figure out how to fund highway projects. And, you know, there's proposals for a six-year plan, but they're not going to get any of it done in time. I mean, my understanding is that CBO is saying they're going to run out of money for this trust fund in August of this year. So I know Congress well enough to know they don't move that fast. More likely, they will come up with some sort of a short-term patch to move several billion dollars into that trust fund while they figure out a longer-term solution. This is a continuing problem. And keep in mind, you know, the more efficient your vehicle is, the less tax money goes into rebuilding roads. So every time you buy a hybrid, you are making it harder and harder and harder for the federal government to raise money to repave highways.
That's one we'll keep watching. Paul, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Rob. Have a great day.
You too. That's Paul Singer, Congress and Politics Editor for USA Today.